Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Jose up the middle into center field, and the Sox take the lead. Madrigal scores. It is 3-2. 2-2 up the middle. He couldn't close the gap enough. Grandal to center field. Here comes Robert to score, and it's 4-2 Sox. Nicky to right field. That's down for a base hit. One run is in. Here comes the second, and the Sox make it 6-2. On the ground, up the middle from Madrigal, and it sneaks on through. 4-for-4, Nick Madrigal. Danny Mendick scores. Unstoppable seventh inning. It's 9-2.
See Stallings setting up off the corner, and that's going to do it. Javi Baez with a base hit. Bodie scores. Cubs win. Cubs win 2-1 the final in 11.
Goes wild, and the Cubs will come out for a socially distanced celebration in the middle of the diamond.
Great baseball weekend. The highlights on NBC Sports Chicago and the Marquee Sports Network. Boy, those White Sox bats are good. I believe it was 21 hits on Saturday, 14 more hits on Sunday. Nick Madrigal broke out of the 0-for-8 with a 4-for-5 day, nearly beat out his fifth hit. And the White Sox just continue to hit and have themselves in a good spot now after the slow start against the Twins and the Indians. By the way, the Javi Baez walk-off hit is all brought to you by Toyota. Javi drives a Toyota. Toyota, the official vehicle of the Chicago Cubs. You're invited to save big on a new Toyota. Hurry in today. Visit Toyota.com for more details. That was good stuff. Good stuff from Sunday and good stuff from the weekend.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Has Major League Baseball, is there any word from Major League Baseball about the minimum number of games that a team has to play to be qualified for postseason play?
That's why there are no, like, rules on, like, hey, what happens if the Cardinals only play 52 games?
Right.
Do you make up the 8 with 7-inning doubleheaders? Do you go by winning percentage? Do you say, well, look, we're already taking the first and second place team, and if you don't have a good enough winning percentage, you're out. We gave you enough chances to get into the postseason.
I'm cool with winning percentage, but, like, I'm still wondering how many games do you have to play? Like, you can't play 20 games and your winning percentage gets you in. You'd have to play, what, 50?
Well, and especially if the Cubs and Cardinals miss games against each other.
Right.
And one team's in and one team's not. Like, those are games that could have made things up a little bit.
Like, not everyone's going to get to 60. Like, you get a 60, I got 57 over here, I got 58, I got 56 over here. I'm cool with the percentage game, but there has to be a minimum game number of games played for you to qualify for postseason play.
I don't know if it really, like, as long as a team plays, like, close to, I'd say 40 games.
Well, that's
really
40.
I don't think it's going to
be.
I don't think it's going to matter because they've expanded the playoffs so much this year that I think they're going to be like, listen, if the Marlins get back on track and they have players playing, you know, in whatever, a week or so, and they play close to whatever
amount of games. Two-thirds of the season.
Yeah, and it obviously matters, Mel, or else they won't be playing 7-inning doubleheaders. You know, like, if it didn't matter that they had to make these games up, why are you shortening major league games make them
up? No, but I know what you're saying, but, like, I think also, like, I don't see how you can penalize a team for a COVID outbreak.
Well, I don't know that it's penalizing or it's just the reality of the situation. But for whatever reason.
But isn't that why you expanded the playoffs? So that in this scenario, like, 16 teams are going to make the playoffs. If your win percentage is a certain, like, I think 40 games is more than enough. Like,
they expanded the playoffs to make money in the playoffs.
No, I know that.
That's
but
why
I'm
they
is,
expanded.
But that's the thing is, like, So what does it matter? Like, if a team plays 40 games, I don't understand why you would be like, oh, you can't make the playoffs.
Well, because you haven't had, you haven't played as many. You may be taking the place of a team that's played 59 games. But they played 19 more. They played half more games.
I know,
than
but
you.
That's the whole point of win percentage. If your win percentage is higher than that team, I don't see why it would really matter.
Well, but you didn't. You only. You don't have a fair comparison. The sample size
but,
is like.
But then, but
that's
but,
why
but,
I'm asking the question.
I know, but based on
20's too few, 40's too few. That's why my
it's
guess
a good
is
question.
It's going to be 50 plus.
I don't think it would be as low as what Meller's saying. That's just like Waddle said. That's a third of the season. That's 20 more.
That's two thirds.
No, right. A third of the season that you're not playing.
I know
if you play 40.
I know what you're saying, but you know you can make the argument that if your team's been ravaged by COVID-related, you know, losses on a roster anyway.
Stay out of the club.
Okay. Right, like the Cardinals, okay, it's been reported. The Cardinals brought, like, again, a couple of players on the Cardinals. This is how it goes. They're testing 2 days delayed. So a couple of Cardinals go to the casino, and they get COVID. Because they're going to an indoor activity with many people who don't know if they're sick or not.
They crapped out. They went to the table and crapped out.
Derek Jeter's addressing the media, and he's debunking the idea that the Marlins were in some way, they weren't very responsible. He's saying that their players were not out in Atlanta at some club, like has been reported on social media. So just because we hear it doesn't mean it's actually true. And like as we've seen, you can pick this virus up and not without,
of course,
through any fault of your own.
Right, it shouldn't be a blame game in general because you could be taking all the precautions but still get sick. But if you do hear that these, like what has John Heyman, I think, confirmed, or who confirmed the report about the Cardinals that Hairston made, Jerry Hairston Jr., that the Cardinals were, a couple of Cardinals players were in the casino, and now baseball is making it mandatory that you stay in the hotel and don't go out when you're on the road.
I don't know what the number is. But I do believe at some point Major League Baseball will, in fact, come to an agreement as to the minimum number of games that have to be played. I'm cool with the win percentage. I just, if one team plays X number of games and the other team plays two-thirds of that, I don't know that number is going to be that low. My guess is it's going to be closer to 50-plus.
And listen, now that Major League Baseball has put that rule into effect, I'm totally cool with it. But it was suggested prior to that, and so that's where I get into the situation where if you're not going to make it a hardline rule, you cannot leave your hotel on the road, then don't get mad at players because you said, look, it's suggested that you kind of hang back.
Isn't that what they're doing now? Aren't they making that the rule?
But yeah. I'm saying prior to that, like, you can get mad at the Cardinals players if you want, but like they weren't told, hey, you cannot go out. And so until you make it it's hard to say, oh, we suggest you do this, but you know how it is. In society, you can suggest something to someone, but until you actually make it a rule,
if you want to get through a baseball season and make whatever is on your salary for 60 games, my advice to you is to follow a prudent path.
You can give me the advice, but now you've made it a hard and fast rule. So now if you break that rule, I'm completely – it's just like saying, hey, look, I suggest you don't use steroids. But we're not going to make a rule against it. And then 5 years later, you actually make it a rule, so now you can understand why people are upset if you break that rule.
I think right now they just want to get through these bumps, and then they'll figure it out
later. Yeah, they're learning through
They want to get in a season to have this debate in the future.
I'm just playing the just asking game. How many games minimum will the Major League Baseball front office actually at some point tell Major League Baseball that you have to play X number of games to qualify for the postseason? Where's your guess at? Meller says 40.
No,
I'm going to guess
50-something.
I'm going to guess, so 10% fewer games would be 54. I'll go to 15%, which would be 51. You have to play a minimum of 51 games. So that would be 15% less than the scheduled number of games.
Would it depend on how close these teams are, like the NBA has done? Like the Blackhawks would never be allowed in the playoffs, but they were allowed because they had the shortened season this year. And the NBA would never allow Washington to be, like, they've allowed Washington and Memphis and Portland and all these teams, New Orleans, to go to the bubble because they're within a certain distance.
Well, but they've all played approximately the same number of games, so they've had an equal chance to earn a right to play in the postseason. I think obviously this is fluid. I'm not upset with Major League Baseball or giving them hell because they don't have a game total number yet. I think there will come a point in time where they're going to have to say X number of games had to be played for you.
And you're right about that.
And listen, if you had a COVID outbreak and it was not because of something silly you were doing, we're in an environment where too bad, so sad. It's very unfortunate.
But here's the thing: the Phillies have played 3 games, right?
That's incredible. And what the Cubs and Sox have played? What, 9?
But you guys would admit that the Phillies essentially
did nothing wrong.
It's because the Marlins, because they happen to be on their schedule. You can't tell the Phillies if they only get a chance to play 45 games through no fault of their own, because I don't know when the Phillies, you know what I mean? Like, I think it gets into a weird spot where if you're telling teams you have to play a certain number of games, it might be out of their hands. Like what if the Cubs can't make up these games against the Cardinals down the road?
You know?
That's why I'm saying it. I mean, you're not going to have everybody playing 60 games, but they have to set some number. There's got to be some number.
Why do you? I don't know why you do.
Most equitable way to do it. Because if you've played 55 games and another team has played 35 games...
When do you make them up, though?
It's not a normal sample size. It's not a comparable sample size.
But when would you make them up if they have to start the postseason at a certain time?
I have no idea.
And then, like, Mark Teixeira brought up an interesting point. Like, what happens if this happens in the postseason? What happens if, like, we have a Cardinals or Marlins type thing in the postseason? Does everything get shut down?
Probably.
So then we've made it that far, then it all gets shut down? Like, you're able to do this now because 29 other teams are playing. 27 in this case without the Marlins, the Phillies, and now the Cardinals. I think it was 26 because the Brewers weren't playing.
Oh, can you imagine the Cubs or the White Sox are in the playoffs with a great record, and then they have a COVID outbreak?
I know, and that's why, in my opinion, Meller, you can't, like, Cap was saying that the Cubs have to trade for guys in the bullpen. Like, I don't know if you go for it and trade prospects, because you can make it till October, and then you could be doing everything right and never have a positive test, and the whole thing gets shut down, and we may have to fold it all up in October.
I don't think you make any trades that are specific to 2020. If you make a trade that you think it's a good deal for the future as well, I wouldn't be against that. But if you're making just a deal for this year, a quick sprint, I think you're playing with fire a little bit.
Like, it's now you can go with things that, hey, we'll wait and see and we'll determine what happens down the road. We just want to make sure we're keeping the rig on the road. When they've got October, these dates that are set now, and then all of a sudden on October 10th, a team has some sort of an outbreak, then what? And then they can't play for a week. The whole thing, then what?
Yeah, just put it on hold.
It's incredible. Williams and Joliet. William, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going, guys? You guys are talking about seven-inning rules and stuff like that. What if you went to a one-and-one count after seventh inning just to speed that last couple innings up?
Like in softball, a one-and-one count to start the count?
Yeah.
Boy, we're really tricking it up then.
Listen,
speed the innings up a little bit.
I'm okay with whatever they decide.
For a strikeout, 3 balls for a walk. No, I don't.
There's a limit for me, but I just hope it doesn't bleed into next year. Like, I get it. This is an extenuating circumstance type of situation. But, like, next year, I don't want to see doubleheaders, seven-inning beer softball doubleheaders.
Are you more on board, and we've had all this breaking news with the Cardinals and with the Field of Dreams game and everything. Are you more on board with the extra innings after watching it local? Yesterday I liked it. I mean, look, it's not a regular game.
Because you knew that the Pirates had no chance of pushing a runner over from second base.
Because the Cubs won. If the Cubs would have lost, I would have hated it. Because the Cubs won. I just thought that it created a whole bunch of strategy. Like, what do you do? Like, I thought the Cubs made 2 great defensive plays in that extra innings that was... The reason those happened were because the runner on second started the inning. Like you said, stupid send home with nobody out. Schwarber threw the guy out at the plate. Javi then with a smart play, ground ball to short, he threw it to third. I think the strategy of what do you do? Do you bunt? Do you try? What do you try and do to get that run in? In this, I think it made it more exciting to start the inning, then with nobody on, nobody out, and do you even get a rally? Every inning could be a possible rally.
Not a fan, but
no. So you say no.
Not for me, but again, maybe I reserve the right to change my feeling about it going forward. I'm cool with it now because again, we're in an environment we never expected to be in, but I'm not a fan of it.
Whether it's like college football, it's not regular football, but it's fun. A shootout, it's not regular hockey, but it's fun. And they wouldn't do this in the postseason. So did you think it was fun, or are you more open to it after seeing it in the Cubs game? 3-3-2, 3-7-7-6. I believe someone's on the line, too, when we come back, Waddle. They want to throw an I told you so at you.
Meller? Oh, Joe and Joliet.
Yeah. So we'll get to all of that coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Jesse just tweeted this out within the last couple of minutes. We were talking about the Cardinals and how their series with Detroit is off, seven players. Their president, John Mozeliak, said that he hopes the team can travel by Wednesday. Says seven player staff have mild symptoms. Goal is to work out Wednesday and Thursday and then host the Cubs on Friday. So we'll see if that's... Jesse's going to join us at 5 to see. And I would assume that Jesse will check in with the Cubs, too, and see if they feel like Abdallah feels. And I think Waddle and Meller also said it, that if you're the Cubs and you see also, too, how long the Phillies have been out and the Marlins have been out, that you'd rather be safe than sorry here. And if you're the Cubs, if you're a little... on guard with traveling or and facing.
Yeah, all this stuff is so fluid. I don't know what Major League Baseball will demand or ask them to do. I don't know what protocol is going to be. It's
dude. Do you want to intensify the Cardinals Cubs rivalry?
We're not going to your place.
Go ahead and play this weekend,
and
the Cubs have a great start, and watch. Then all of a sudden, you know, someone on the Cubs catches it.
Yeah,
that would amp up a rivalry.
I would say so.
Yeah. So that's supposed to be played in St. Louis over the weekend. I think one of the games is a nationally televised game, too. So a lot going on. Did you like the extra innings in the Cubs game yesterday? It's happened before in Major League Baseball, but it was the first time that we can see it. And I thought there was a lot of cool strategy with it on what to do with that runner on second and when to bunt him over and when to send him and sort of maybe ending these games a little bit earlier.
By the way, I believe, haven't the majority of the extra inning games been won by the visiting team? Which I thought that it was going to skew the other way. And also collectively, hasn't the overall hitting prowess of the DHs been very below expectation? Did I
so
see that
far,
stat?
Like, yeah the numbers so far.
Size, but the really, numbers yeah. have probably not been what you would expect.
Yes, and as Kyle Schwarber proven that he is not your designated hitter, that he is indeed your left fielder.
What?
He's in the short season, he's made a diving catch, and he's thrown out a runner at the plate to save a game.
To your DH stats, Waddle, I do wonder, hitting across baseball is down significantly. Yeah. Strikeouts are way up. And so I wonder if that's, you know, strikeouts are way up and arm injuries are also way up.
Right.
So like lesser pitchers are striking out normal hitters who are out there. So I wonder if it's just this whole season's kind of hard to really put your finger on what's actually happening.
Yeah, no, I just found it to be, I like the DH, the universal DH, but just found like the early stats to be interesting. Not projecting them to be long-term that they won't get better, but just
I like the DH, too, because you know what I'm tired of? I think baseball had
watching
a relief.
Watching pitchers hit?
Not necessarily that, watching pitchers get pulled because of their spot up in the order. So, like, a guy could be having a good game, but he's down a run, and it's the sixth, and now you got to pull him. There's too many relievers in the game to begin with. I'm not sure yet if I like the three
batter
rule.
I was just going to say, I haven't really noticed it to the point. I know what's going on, but it hasn't made me think critically about it just yet.
So, I want less pitching changes. So if you can stay with a starting pitcher longer because his spot in the order isn't coming up, I think it's better. And you just keep a guy in if he's going well. Chatwood's going good.
Says a guy whose bullpen started to look a little bit better the last couple of days, right?
Well, yeah, right. My starters, the Cubs starters have been fantastic, too.
I have a question later in the show, too, about Chatwood and why he may be better this year.
Yeah. Joe and Joliet wants to stick it to you, though.
Does he?
Yeah, Joe and Joliet, what's on your mind today, Joe? Bring it to him.
Yeah, I just want to ask Tommy, how do you like me now?
I liked you from the moment you called, Joe. I liked you then. I like you now.
Team.
I like your team.
I'm talking about the big black machine.
I'd like it. They can hit the hell out of the baseball. They got a good bullpen. I'm just still a little questioning their starting rotation depth.
Okay, but if you remember, when we had the argument, I named three pitchers. Let's see if we can come to an agreement on this.
Okay.
Giolito?
Really good. Would love to have him on my rotation.
Okay, Keuchel?
Serviceable. I thought the White Sox, rather, I was pandering for them to, encouraging them to try to sign him last year, so I like him.
I think he's better than serviceable, though. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say that, too. He's had two good outings so far, and really looked dominant.
He's good. And listen, in nine games, Joe, you guys have two quality starts. They've been better. Cease was much better yesterday.
That, like Sylvie was just saying about the manager pulling everybody. Like the game that Gio Gonzalez was pitching, Ricky pulls these guys. It's like, oh, look, it's the fourth inning. I got to get a new guy in here all the time.
Joe, I'm not rooting against your guys. I'd love for them to be dominant.
I don't.
I just, you know what? Meller's the Sox fan. I mean, you feel better, right? But, I mean, are you ready to stamp them, you know?
Big start. Isn't Rodon on the hill tonight? Yes. Another big start for him.
Yeah, tonight will be a big outing.
I mean, you got the Royals, too, right? I mean, you know, you got the Royals. Yeah, you took care of the Royals. Good. That's what you're supposed to do. But, like, I'm not going to make
Brewers
it
tonight.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, the Cubs should be beating the Pirates. You beat who you're supposed to beat.
Absolutely.
Like the Reds are supposed to beat the Tigers.
That's right. They got two beer league softball wins, 2 7-inning wins.
Yeah.
Wasn't overly excited.
You know what? If they're going to do that, they should put a keg of beer on second base.
I think they should anyway, Joe. I don't care how many innings you're playing. There should be a second base keg.
Win or lose, drink the booze, Joe.
That's right.
Meller, are you sold on your staff now?
All right, Joe. Thank you, Joe. Thanks, Joe. We appreciate your call.
Are you sold on your group now? I mean, you obviously feel better now than you did earlier.
Yes. If they can play the Royals, you know, every game, I feel really good about where they're at. Look, I'll tell you, the bullpen, that's been ridiculous.
They've been fantastic. They were good last year, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, and if they can get this type of performance from someone like Ross Detweiler when they need to, like, that's a pretty nice little, you know, guy who can piggyback on top of Gio Gonzalez. I'm not, like, listen, if Gio Gonzalez gives them four good innings, I have no problem with Ricky going to the pen, especially in a 60-game season where every win is critical. Don't let your starter go to...
the bullpen that you have.
You've got this taxi squad that you can take advantage of. You know, when you need to use pitchers, you're going to have the possibility to call on some guys. So I'm more than happy for Ricky to have a quick hook with certain guys.
Listen, it's the opposite on the other side of town, where you are glad as hell that Chatwood has given you what he's given you. And John Lester's giving you quality John Lester starts, where he runs into a little bit of trouble early and then finds a way to right things and then ends up giving you six innings. Like, I mean...
Yes, I thought it was going to be one of those old John Lester starts. When I say old, I mean old man. I texted Jesse. He wasn't finding the strike zone, gave up the home run early. Thought it was going to be one of those days, and he found a way to find the fountain of youth and go six yesterday.
Listen, I told you after that when he completely no-hit the Reds, you can tell his age is starting to slow him down or to show with him. But he finds a way to give you six fantastic innings at the end of the day. And with that bullpen that you got, that's what you need. The Sox are in the other conversation. Whereas you can get two or three innings or three innings from Gio Gonzalez because you've got a bullpen that can help pick up your starting pitching. Yeah. Cubs don't have that.
I hate the narrative of, well, the Cubs beat the Pirates and then the Sox beat the Royals. I mean, you know it as well as anyone, Waddle. When your team lost 2 of 3 to open the season against Detroit at
home, piss you off.
It sucks. Like, if your team, we should be thrilled, especially when the Sox have to go up against Cleveland. They have to go up against the Twins earlier in the season. They have to play those teams 10 times. So when they play the Royals, they better do well. The Cubs have to go up against the Cardinals, the Brewers, and the Reds. So when they face the Pirates, they better make hay.
You're right.
So I'm, like, thrilled when the Cubs sweep and when the White Sox sweep. And those are games that I think are really important.
Listen, you've
got, they count the same.
You got to be thrilled with the Cubs. You took 2 of 3 from the Brewers. You took 2 of 3 from the Reds, and now you swept the Pirates.
Yes,
I mean, at 7-2, you have to be baseball giddy.
And the bullpen has completely
settled down.
They've settled down in the last couple of games, but we still don't have in some of these, I think they've given up like 12 home runs already. Like, they've given up big leads, and you still have found a way to go 7-2, even with all the bad stuff from the bullpen. I think if you're both teams right now, you're feeling good at where you are at.
Absolutely.
312-332-3776. Waddle's World coming up. More on the Hawks. And also, what is life going to be like in the NFL? Can they survive? Or did they have the wrong plan to begin with? Mike Tirico is going to join us coming up at 4.
It's that time again when we venture deep into the great unknown.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
A trip inside the mind of a multi-concussed former Bears wide receiver.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him. And he had an all-time day in the use of smelling salt.
Buckle up, boys and girls.
Tom Waddle. Everything wants to have a Tom Waddle. If I had a football team, I'd like to have a Tom Waddle on my team because you draw from that.
It's time to go inside Waddle's World.
Tom Waddle did have to use a lot of smelling salt.
Thank you, John. Waddle's World brought to you by our fantastic friends and partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC.
This is breaking news on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
I've come to actually really like that sounder. Like, before it scared the poo out of me, now it kind of gives me revved up.
It still scares me.
Yeah. Abdallah, into you, our lead newsman, old-time baseball voicey guy.
Well, this is not a baseball story, so I'll save the voice for the baseball stories. Unless you want to know that Nicholas Castellanos was named Player of the Week. Northwestern has paused football workouts after a player has tested positive for COVID-19.
I thought Illinois high school sports have been paused, haven't they? Or that there's going to be no
I think they're going to move it to the spring.
Yeah.
You know, and there are some people, I saw someone tweet that they're not happy with that because now spring athletes get screwed twice.
Yeah.
For instance, if you're a baseball player and you play in the spring, but you like football, last season, baseball season was canceled last year because that's when it started. And then now you're forced to make a choice. You're going to play football or you're going to play baseball.
What about all those cool kids that had 3 sports on their letter jackets?
Those kids that you hated?
Not
is that what you were talking about?
I know Waddle was strutting around with that.
Waddle had a sport on each sleeve, too, probably.
Oh, yeah, with his name on the back.
Carrying around a football to class.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Teach, where's your book, Waddle? Don't need a book. Just got this football, teach.
But for all the people who are mad, here's the alternative. You can cancel your fall sports altogether. Would you rather have that? I mean,
I don't know how you're going to schedule everything. But if you're a student athlete and you are like a huge baseball fan and you love the game and you're a football player and you love that sport, it's not
ideal. And baseball's having a tough time attracting kids to begin with.
Well, the other problem is too, we're hearing about this with college athletics, and college athletics is obviously a lot bigger and has a lot more money than high school. But if we're talking about college athletics having a problem moving sports to the spring because of the strain it's going to put on the training staff, like, each high school has like two trainers.
Yeah, they don't have the ability.
And like a couple volunteers, like a couple student like volunteers. Imagine every sport being played at the same time with like one trainer. Like at Libertyville, we had two trainers, I think.
And oh, by the way, I mean, like, if you think that miraculously all this is going to be cleared up by next spring, we're still going to be dealing with stuff. Hopefully we'll have the capacity to deal with it in a better way. But
hopefully we'll have a vaccine by next spring.
I'm more of an antiviral guy right now, to be honest with you. Like, if you gave, and again, this is an idiot guy talking with no medical experience, but if you gave me the choice between a vaccine that works 50% of the time or an antiviral that works like Tamiflu, that takes away the massive symptoms and kind of slows it down and keeps you from possibly developing into something catastrophic, I think it's more likely I'm going to benefit from the antiviral as much as I am going to from the vaccine. I mean, so I'm more of an antiviral guy at the moment.
Can we get both? How about both?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to have both.
Like,
you may have to do both anyway.
Yeah.
Because, like, again, like, you get the flu shot, okay? But you still can get the flu, and once you get the flu, if you catch it in time, your doctor prescribes Tamiflu, and that eases the symptoms and helps it from going any bit further. What do you got in there, Adam? What?
This is radio. You're supposed to take the I don't need to tell you everything on the air. I was giving you like the phone sign to take the phone caller.
Oh, okay.
Because we have an answer about our high school sports.
I didn't know. Listen,
and so when I give you the phone sign,
I'm not a professional.
Yes, you are a professional.
You've been paid to do radio for 25 years.
You can pop on the air and say, "Hey, I got a guy on the line. You should take his call."
He likes to hide behind. He's an athlete when it fits him, and then when we ask him to do something radio related,
you were talking.
I've been doing this for 25 years. You think I'm just an athlete?
Maybe you should have carried a book to class instead of a football.
Well, either way, can you please just interrupt me in the process of it so that you can tell me that Mike's in Glen Ellen?
We're wrong about high school sports. Let's go to Mike in Glen Ellen. He's a high school football coach.
See how easy that
coach.
Was?
Mike, you're on ESPN 1000. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Mike?
Hey, so what the IHSA did, the sports are actually going to run continuous. So basketball will go first. Football will run February to March. And then baseball would be after that. So
okay. If
they play all three sports, they still can.
Mike, I actually saw a local high school look like they were on their football field as I was doing something this morning, actually working out. Why would that be? They were spread out. They weren't using a football, but.
Yeah, we actually got to run a camp in the summer. We had to follow CDC guidelines during that camp process. And then the governor came out with his new guidelines. So as of August 15th, that's going to change. And then everything was postponed.
Okay.
So basketball will go first, and then followed by football. And then baseball would be, I think they start in May, and they would go through June.
Wow, if you're a three-sport athlete, there's no downtime for you. Not that you would have a ton anyway, but this is just cycling through really quick. It's interesting.
What kind of team are you going to have this year, Coach?
We'll have a solid team, of course.
Solid. We're going to be solid this year, guys.
It sounds like a team that's going to be really good. When the coach says we have a solid team, you know they're going to be really good.
There you go. I don't know how you do that, though, if you're playing February and what do you say? You're playing
February and March?
March,
yeah.
And then sport basically has 2 months. They'll probably condense the schedule short. It'll be smaller or shorter.
That's like you said, if everything goes well.
Yeah. It's interesting. That's wild. It's very wild. The Bears have had a second player that has opted out. Jordan Lucas, who is a safety. I believe they signed him as a free agent from Kansas City. Am I right?
He won the Super Bowl. They were hoping that he would contribute on special teams.
Yes.
Meller and I were trying to rack our brain on who he was, but we were thinking, I think of Josh. Didn't they have a player named Josh Lucas in the past? This is Jordan Lucas.
I thought Josh Lucas, maybe an offensive lineman, possibly. I'm not so sure. He didn't leave a lasting impression on me.
So he second player to opt out.
The NFL opt-out deadline now expected to be Thursday or this Friday. Attorneys for both the league and the NFLPA continue to work on finalizing the language, but the union has agreed to shorten the window between the finalizing of the agreement and the opt-out deadline. in exchange for some concessions on final language.
You know who Josh Lucas is? Josh Lucas is an actor.
He's an actor that was in Sweet Home Alabama.
And also Ford vs. Ferrari.
He was
one of the executives who was basically trying to subvert Matt Damon as Carroll Shelby.
There you go.
Yeah, but wasn't there a Josh Lucas on the Bears?
Was he in the front office?
Maybe he was in the front office.
Yeah, wasn't he a cap guy? I thought he was like their...
Maybe he was.
Yeah, I think he's a Ryan Pace guy. He's like a regional scout.
Which makes him a cap guy, right? If he's a Ryan Pace guy, then he's a cap guy.
You're absolutely a cap guy.
Salary cap guy.
So anyway, so the opt-out thing is pretty interesting because it felt like for a while that... There may be a couple of guys who, instead of going to camp and in competing for a job, decided to take the opt out, knowing that at the very least they were going to get what, a $350,000 advance to the next year's salary. To me, it's a pretty good business tactic of a player who may be on the final legs of his career and may be an outside shot to win a job. So he says, you know what? Instead of going to camp and competing and probably not going to make the team, I'm opting out, and then he can tap into his contract.
Okay.
So,
look at you trying to find the loopholes.
Loophole, baby.
Nothing wrong with a loophole.
That's right. 49ers have agreed to deal with former Washington tight end Jordan Reed. Remember when Jordan Reed was a fantastic player in the league, and then I think had a series of concussions.
Yes, and then like a toe injury.
Yeah.
Just like a bunch of stuff always goes wrong with Jordan Reed.
He was a heck of a player when he was healthy. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, is among a group that is going to buy the XFL. They've agreed to purchase the XFL for approximately $15 million. The XFL declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy back in April and has been seeking a buyer for the past 3 months.
And boy, you were very into that. We thought it was going to work because of all the WWE money that was behind it. But $15 million is all they got for it.
I know. Didn't they shut her down because of COVID? Isn't that what it was?
Yeah, I thought they went chapter. Didn't they go chapter whatever?
Right. But I thought it was because the COVID. The COVID got them.
Originally, right. They were doing beer snakes and stuff right in the beginning of COVID.
Yeah.
And then they shut her all down.
And there were some shenanigans with the way Vince McMahon was handling the
bankruptcy. Like that he was going to file bankruptcy so then he could buy back his own entity for pennies on the dollar.
Exactly.
Right.
Also, the NBA has tightened its protocol on retesting and allowing players a return to the court within a 24-hour window, according to league memo obtained by Woj. Now a player returning an inconclusive result, which occurs in approximately 5 of every 1,000 tests, can still become eligible to play in a game that's within 24 hours instead of needing to wait 48 hours, the memo said.
Okay.
The player must test negative in an immediate retest upon receiving the inconclusive result and then return another negative test within 60 minutes of the scheduled tip-off of his team's next game. See, we're learning as we go.
Well, I'll tell you what, the NBA and NHL so far have done great work. The NHL released a stat that, again, they had zero positive tests. And I don't believe they've had a single positive test since they've gone to the Hub Cities, Phase 4.
Good bubble work by all of them.
Yes, I need sports.
When we come back, I have something that's not quite the, top-down Jeep, whatever
Topless
that was.
Jeep weekend.
More local. This is more of a local flair to it.
Yeah, something comparable to that. And, of course, Florida, Ohio as well next. This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer. Crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hey, well, not everyone's doing the right thing. Let's head to East Peoria, Illinois. Despite COVID-19 cases ramping up in the Tri-County area, a yearly river party went on this past Saturday. Around 200 boats filled with people showed up for the 10th annual White Trash Bash.
Around 200 boats filled with people showed up for the yearly white trash bash, and now law enforcement is concerned about the spread of COVID-19, but as far as enforcing it goes, they say there's not much they can do.
Perfect temps and perfect river levels means a big turnout for the annual white trash bash. Nearly 1,000 people gathered in an alcove along the Illinois River.
We encourage them to practice social distancing. I don't know how likely that's going to be in this environment.
Mike Johnson, director of the Fond du Lac Park District, says the event has been thrown for 10 years, but law enforcement has only been on standby for a few years.
This isn't a sanctioned event. We started having law enforcement present about 4 or 5 years ago because we will get a lot of fights on the beach. It's the perfect element for a problem. You've got beautiful weather. You've got lots of alcohol.
The all-day party consists of drinking.
I'm just ready to tear it down.
And partying as a large group. Daniel Murphy is attending his first ever white trash bash and says he's ready for some fun.
I thought we were going fishing, but it looks like we're going to that. It's going to be a good time, just hanging with friends, going to be having a good time.
While I was there, I saw no one wearing masks or social distancing, but Johnson says there isn't much his officers can do.
We do the best we can with the manpower we have, and we try to encourage people to voluntarily be compliant with the social distancing. But at the end of the day, our main goal is to get through this event and get everybody home safe.
Murphy and his friends say they aren't concerned about potentially catching the virus.
Definitely not.
Hell
no. Not at all.
Fond du Lac Park District Police also want people to know not everyone with boats like these along the Illinois River take part in the White Trash Bash. And the biggest thing when it comes to boating is being courteous of other boaters. In East Peoria, I'm Austin Schick.
Austin Schick.
Austin Schick looks and sounds like he's fresh out of school.
Oh yeah,
like
he went to Bradley, right? Still go to Bradley.
He might still. Yeah. He definitely sounds like Sylvie did when he was doing his report.
A minute and a half of that, and the one thing we all latch on to is what did he say his last name was?
White Trash Bash.
The cop says they can't do anything about it, but like. Here in Chicago, they've shut down the beaches. Can't they shut down the river?
Well, this isn't a sanctioned event.
Sorry, can't do nothing about it.
This is we haven't been a part of this except for the last 4 or 5 years because there's been lots of fights on the beach.
Give me the other guy again when he said, what did he say?
Tear it up.
He's tearing it up. Oh,
Murphy
yeah.
Murphy and his friends say they aren't concerned about potentially catching the virus.
Definitely not. Not at all.
That doesn't sound like a guy who's worried about COVID.
Hey, Murphy, are you think that you may catch the virus?
Murphy and his friends say they aren't concerned about potentially catching the virus.
Definitely not.
Really?
Not at all.
Wash them hands for 20 seconds keep them clean with the Germex.
That was a different party.
Is it really?
She's the Grand Marshal.
I think there were more outgoing interviews, but I think it's the same party.
Yes, I agree with Sylvie.
By the way, did you see the overhead shot of the number of boats and people that were participating in this?
This is what's wrong.
White
I know.
Bash.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
You guys know we don't have any jurisdiction at the bash.
We can't do anything about it. What are we supposed to do down here? We only have a couple cops on the staff.
We encourage them to practice social distancing. I don't know how likely that's going to be in this environment.
It's like it's Amsterdam.
The cops are doing their job as long as they don't be mean to people who are actually being innocent.
I got time out. I got a question here, though. What happens if you do break the law? Is there a place they may put you? I mean, like, is there any chance that a law enforcement representative may find a spot for you for a few hours at the very least?
When you start acting silly, we've got a jail that's got a whole lot of empty holes.
Okay, so like...
We saw it's hands-on, half hands-off approach in Illinois. The guy was totally hands-off.
Yeah. White trash bash.
And then there's Jordan Schick? Is that his name?
Austin, I thought it was.
Austin Schick?
I think so.
Yeah,
man. Oh, and Jordan James. Good recall with the Jordan, Sylvia. Jordan James was the guy who did the...
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
...report.
Oh, boy. I love his voice.
White trash bash.
And we wonder why. Jeep Weekend. Why we can't contain the virus.
Exactly.
That's why we're in quarantine, and I need to get out and party.
That's why we can't have nice things. By the way, One reporter sounds excited to present you this story, and I think
Topless Jeep Weekend.
Now, see, yeah. Jordan sounds like excited because it's probably this was months ago, right? Because we were early in the COVID.
Yeah, that was May 19th.
Okay, May 19th. Jordan, hear the excitement in his voice.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Okay, now what's the other guy's? Aaron
Austin.
Listen to the trepidation in his voice.
White trash bash.
He's like, dude, I shouldn't be doing this story.
He's like, I'm fresh out of college,
and you're making.
I'm scared. You know what? You they're sending me here. Yeah, well, I told you.
Topless Jeep Weekend.
I thought I wanted to be a reporter.
Austin's like, can I go to the Topless Jeep event?
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Yes. White trash bag.
No, not there. I want to go to the other one.
Murphy and his friends say they aren't concerned about potentially catching the virus.
Definitely not. No. Not at all.
Not at all. I'm bulletproof.
Well, what if you wash your hands with that Germanex or Germax?
Wash them hands for 20 seconds. Yeah. Keep them clean with the Germex.
Do they still make Keystone beer? Because
Hell yeah.
They're drinking a Keystone beer at the...
Yeah. They're getting Keystone, and they're getting the 30 packs of Ice House.
Oh, yes. The Ice House.
I'm all gravy, baby.
Listen, don't be taking it's still tasty beer down with this, this irresponsible behavior.
What's better than beach and a few drinks and Jeeps? Man, get any better than that?
One more
around
time before we go away.
Filled with people showed up for the yearly white trash bash.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, this is the now listen to Jordan again. Listen to Jordan.
Go Topless Jeep Weekend.
Hell yeah. Let's get it going.
White trash bash.
No, I don't want to be here.
He almost said it like a question.
White trash bash.
He said it like,
you know what? Can I say white trash bash?
That's
white
right.
trash bash.
He's saying it like he's saying, I don't even think I could say this.
I'm here to tear it up is all I know.
Murphy and his friends say they aren't concerned about potentially catching the virus.
Definitely not. Not at all.
Not at all. I didn't even need to take you into the world of Florida or Ohio. That's all I got for you.
That's it. Yeah. We could do that later because Marky's off.
Yeah.
Give us a Florida or Ohio at 5:30.
Yeah.
Today.
You know what? I will not send you on. I will not send you on your way on a Monday without a nice Florida or Ohio story.
All right. Let's talk sports. And Mike Tirico's on the call for several of these hockey games. And we mentioned the NHL doing a great job. The Hawks did a great job. They play tonight at 9:30. Tirico was broadcasting with Eddie O, and we'll talk to our good friend Mike Tirico in 2 short minutes.